the Doctor.
Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum, Issue 61. My name is Mike, Captain Mike. I want to say hello to everybody. Thank you for downloading, subscribing, and thank you guys for jumping on to our online segment here. We are now going to be officially online. We're going to do this again. Give us a shot. But I think this might work for us now. I've got Kane over here on the right-hand side of the screen. Kane, how you doing today?
Hello, Captain. How are you, sir?
We're doing awesome here. Just like always, of course, you know, we're enjoying our nice quiet time at home. It's been a normal weekend, but I think for introverts like you and I, not much has changed.
No, pretty much kind of a status quo. But, you know, just hope everybody's safe and staying home.
Don't go out.
That's the only thing I'll say about that.
Very good. So, again, this is issue 61. Make sure you guys do check out our other page so you guys know down at the bottom of the page. For those of you that are watching us on Facebook or YouTube, Heroes Asylum is down at the bottom, heroesasylum.com. You can check us out. And then, of course, at the top of the page, you will see where we are located, Twitter, Facebook, Podbeam, iTunes, all those great locations. So you can check us out everywhere there. But don't forget, also on heroesasylum.com, you can get to Kane's page for the Midnight Movie.
Yes, sir.
What have we got going on Midnight Movie this week?
Well, we just did the third movie of our Infinity Saga trilogy, or not trilogy, Infinity. Well, we can't call it the trilogy. We got to come up with a cool name.
We already said Infinity Saga.
Is it Infinity Saga? Well,
that's what you said when we recorded it. So I would hope.
Okay. I forgot, man. I'm losing days. We did our third movie of the Infinity Saga. We did Thor, which was a lot of fun. A lot of fun facts I didn't know about Thor. If you guys get a chance, check it out on the Midnight Movies page. So we'll be updating some more stuff on there very shortly, and to labor of love. And I love it, and we're going to keep going. And next month, I think, we're doing the Avengers, so look out for that.
That should be our April one. We'll also have an extra special one because, of course, you know, everybody is at home. So, of course, Kane and I are at home. So we're probably going to drop down an extra special Midnight Movie for you guys this month. Haven't quite decided. I think I've been kicking around an idea. I don't know. I know we don't want to do our regular one we usually do. We have the Heroes Asylum, the Avengers series, but we also are doing a movie category series where Kane and I bust out different categories from different types of movies, whether it be, you know, a comedy, action, sci-fi, trying to get out of our range and pick something that's like completely outside of it. So I think this, we've already done our choice now. So I think just the next one we might throw it out a poll out on our Facebook page and Twitter page and see what everybody says.
We haven't done a poll in a long time.
So. No, don't, let's not say it that way, man.
Yeah, let's not say it that way.
So what we're going to do, there has been some news. Kane's got some, I've got some. We're also going to jump into polls because we have not done a comic poll for like any new stuff coming out. And part of my news this week actually has to do with the polls. So we're going to go ahead and jump into that. We call this the, what do we call this again? We call this the, come on. Sorry about that, guys. I was trying to stall because my system wasn't working over here, but we've called that the admissions ward. So we're going to jump into that for you guys. Here you go.
News from the admissions ward.
Well, we're going to go ahead. Actually, Kane, you said you had two?
Yeah, I got two.
All right. Well, I tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and pull, since I have a little bit more than you, I'm going to go ahead and pull a couple out. Go ahead and start first. So what I have is, we do have rumored. Still, we have only gotten this for a little bit of a rumor. We had that Marvel Studios is possibly doing a shutdown. Of course, you know, we all know that, you know, all the productions are being shut down everywhere, but they're even saying like even their other productions that are like smaller are getting shut down. Now, this news did come from, it was leaked to CBR.com, but it was also came from, and I don't know who this is because I've never heard of them, but Murphy's Multiverse is where this report came from. So take it with a grain of salt.
Sounds like a comic book store.
That's what I had to check it out. I was like, what? And when I went to the page, I didn't see anything, but it's supposedly crews were allegedly informed that a 4-week suspension no longer seemed realistic. Production would stop. They were talking mostly about like the WandaVision, Loki, and those shows that are going to be on the Disney Plus series. So that is something that is out there. We don't know if that's true or not, but we'll find out. You know, if we'll see.
Yeah, I think I heard the same thing. I think it's they said 3 weeks to 4 weeks. I think that's the rumor. I know WandaVision is done. Loki, they were filming. And the Falcon and Winter Soldier, they were almost done. So they don't have that much work left.
No.
So, you know.
But we'll see. I mean, it's just one of the first ones that we hear about. So hopefully we won't, you know, it'll be a little bit better. So that's what we have there. What do you have for yours?
Well, Rosario Dawson. I'll try to say it that fast. Rosario Dawson from Clerks fame or Clerks 2 fame, which is one of my favorite movies. And she was in Jane Silent Bob the Reboot. She's been in a couple other things. She's been cast as Ahsoka Tano for season 2 of The Mandalorian. Now, I believe the filming is already done. So I'm thinking that her parts are already filmed. Or she could have been cast for season 3. So there's a lot of things that it's kind of innuendo. Like that news thing wasn't very specific. It just said that she's cast.
Well, it didn't even say she was cast. They said there was rumors. So it wasn't even like a guaranteed definite. And you didn't even hear it from her. Now, I know the reason that everybody's biting into it is because she has been like posting things about, you know, Ahsoka in her, I think it was her Twitter feed. Also, Dave Filoni was posting stuff, you know, little drawings he was doing of like Ahsoka the White. So I, you know, there's a lot of people going, well, they're hinting here. And then we hear about this report. So I'm on the fence really about it.
Yeah. So am I too. I mean, I'm just like wondering if her stuff was filmed already. It's just like you said, it wasn't really confirmed by anybody. Yeah. It just says that she's, you know, she's in there, you know.
Unless I heard you, March 9th was finishing up of the season 2. So, I mean,
yeah, they're done
weeks later. So unless they're going back and finishing up doing like maybe a finale that she'll be part of like the final episode, very similar to how at the very last episode we saw the Darksaber, you know, and that just that ending clip as it ended.
Wild ending, by the way.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, that would be just as wild as if we got, you know, Ahsoka the White walking by as Rosario Dawson. My only thing, and again, I love her as an actress. I'm very leery about them taking the chance on this. Star Wars hasn't been hasn't been known lately to be taking care of some of the legacy characters. And to me, I look at her as a legacy character now because she's been around so long, and there are so many fans out there that love her. I think Rosario's got the look to do it. I also believe Ashley Eckstein has a look to do it. The actress that does the voiceover.
Ashley Eckstein. Yeah.
Ashley Eckstein. I just don't know if Rosario's going to bring the game. And it's not that she can't act. There's a certain attitude towards Ahsoka. And again, it's one of those iffy chances, and I just don't want them to ruin a great character. I mean, look at what they did to Darth Vader. I mean, you're bread and butter villain, and you kind of wussified him. So,
yeah, you neutered him is what you did. It's terrible.
But we'll go ahead and find out and see what happens there. But yeah, that was one of my.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see like if this rumor is true. At what point are we getting Ahsoka? Because the last time we saw Ahsoka, I mean, well, actually, the last time we saw her like in this timeline, Rebels, she had left. With the whales and everything. And then like recently in Clone Wars, you've gone back to the past where she's just coming back out of the shadows. So you're going to get the Ahsoka of years later. So I wonder if they're going to talk about Ezra, if they're going to talk about Thrawn, like what happened, you know, in between all that time. So
I don't know if they'll interesting. Talk about it. I mean, there's no reason to revisit.
Well, they could mention it like a small.
I'm not sure. There'll be a mention. I mean, she'll probably even be mentioned because of the Battle of Mandalore. Because that is a big thing especially with Clone Wars. Now that's where they're going to focus towards this season is the Battle of Mandalore. I don't think they'll talk about it, but she will be approached as Ahsoka the White. Cause that's the last thing we saw of her was very, you know, Gandalf esque in Lord of the Rings. Yeah. And Dave Filoni is a Lord of the Rings fan. So I completely get that connection that, you know, Ahsoka is his, in a way, kind of his Gandalf. So I'm good with it, with how they treated her so far. Just leery.
Yeah, again, it's just one of those things we just got to wait and see. That's the one thing. I mean, we've heard Indy Wendy, we've heard the rumors. I mean, we don't know where she's going to be, if she's cast or not. I mean, we've talked about it ad nauseum for the last 5 minutes. Just got to wait and see. So,
Very good. For you comic book fans out there, I know we're going to talk about our comic book polls, but Diamond Comic Distributors has announced that Free Comic Book Day, the annual event that we're, we usually get promoted that was planned for May 2nd, has been, has been canceled and definitely postponed is what they're saying. So they reached out to the total, there are 47 distributors that they talked to, and they are rescheduling it probably later in the summer, crossing our fingers, hope everything goes as, is planned. So anybody that was looking forward to Free Comic Book Day, unfortunately, that you won't have that event. It's funny though, because I have a ton of friends that go and do this, and I have always missed. I think I actually caught last October. I think it was October. They do Free Comic Book Day twice a year, and I want to say it was October that I was actually able to finally go and catch one of these. I'm kind of was hoping to catch this one because this is the time that they're supposedly supposed to be leading in and introducing the new DC, the 5G or generation fit or fifth generation. There's other couple of new comic books that were going to drop for releases later in the fall. So hopefully they'll still release them. Maybe not on Comic Book Day, but we'll still be able to get a taste of them, through other routes.
Yeah, I'm sure that they'll do something. Free Comic Book Day, it sucks they had to cancel it. But the next one, as you said, should be coming up in October. That'll be a big deal. But usually they'll replace it with something else. I mean, they'll have some kind of giveaway. I mean, I don't doubt they'll replace it with something. Like you said, hopefully with all this, insanity is behind us, we'll get back to a sense of normalcy. Because I've only been to a couple of the Free Comic Book Days. And when you get there, you do find some gems.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. Sometimes you won't find the greatest, but, once in a while, if you look hard enough, you will find a couple gems. That's where I got Miracle Man. That was one of the first places, was a Free Comic Book Day I found Miracle Man. And totally got into it, and I'm obsessed with it. Got a couple t-shirts of it. They should make a movie of it. I mean, I'm obsessed with Miracle Man. If you guys have not read Miracle Man, it's an old Alan Moore adaptation. It's very similar to Shazam, but not quite. Just think of Shazam, but like a murderous type of Shazam. So just to give you guys an idea. But, hopefully, like I said, they'll have something. They always have something. These comic book shops will have giveaways or something.
Well, a lot of comic book shops have closed down during this time.
Yeah.
So that's why they're saying it's not going to, there's one reason why they're not going to do it. So, and speaking of which, for that reason alone, one of my last news articles, or almost last news articles, is Comixology. Anybody out there, I know you guys are your comic book fans, your diehard comic book fans like Kane, who wants the hard book. Fortunately, you're not going to be able to get it unless you have them literally old school delivering them to your door. Comixology has an unlimited service when you first sign up, but they have now extended that out for 60 days. So anybody out there that's interested, I know it's you're staunch people out there that just don't want to let go of the paper. You still can get your comic books there. And like I said, it's free for the 60 days. Their back library is immense. I mean, the stuff that they have, the things I've been able to read and catch up on, side characters I never thought much of, but they've sort of shown up slowly in other forms. I've been able to catch up on them. Actually, one of my polls this week is one of them, from the Marvel Universe, a character that I never really got much on. It was something that Kane has always sort of said, and I've been doing research on it and opening my mind to it, of the supernatural realm in Marvel, that we don't see much of the supernatural realm. And I sort of have gone on to a mission to actually find Marvel's supernatural realm. And that's where I'm using Comixology. So you still have to pay for your regular new releases, but they're only, I think they're like $1 cheaper, sometimes 50 cents cheaper. So there is a discount, but you're still going to get them there.
Yeah. I've had to go to Comixology recently just to get some reads of the latest pulls. Cause I can't get it physically, which kind of upsets me, but once again, I understand what's going on. And it's a great tool. It's a great tool. I'm always going to be the fan, the diehard fan. I'll be the old guy. I want my covers. I want my variant covers and all that stuff. But in time like this, Comixology is a tool, and there's some great stuff on there that you've opened my eyes to. And one of them is that Marvel Supernatural that I told you about for a long time, the Werewolf by Night. They had a Frankenstein one, a couple other ones, but the Marvel creepy world, supernatural world, is definitely something to dive into. And I think Marvel Studios, that's something they should be planning, in the near future. I think Phase 6 or 5, who knows.
I think they're already starting to tiptoe in it, just with Doctor Strange and everything that we've seen with the multiverse.
Yeah, should be interesting. Well, excuse me.
Right. And you have anything else?
I got one more. It was another. I don't like reporting on things that are not really could be fact or fiction. But okay, Wonder Woman.
My next one's a goodie. You'll love this.
Okay. Then I don't feel so bad. Wonder Woman was rumored to be going straight to the HBO, I guess, DC combination thing instead of a release, but then it was retracted.
Yeah, HBO Max.
HBO Max. I'm sorry. Thank you. So it's supposed to be HBO Max, but then it was retracted. It says, no, we're going to still release it in June. And that's where everybody was getting up in arms. Like, is it going to be there streaming? We're still a little bit out from June.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I would caution people. I mean, the optimistic in me says all this is going to be over before June. So I think it's still going to hit that release date. I think it was a little presumptuous to say that's going to go straight to streaming. I understand they want to build that streaming network. And, you know, what a better way to intro it to say, hey, guess what? We got the Wonder Woman 84 going on there right now. But like I said, a little bit presumptuous. I think it's going to hit that June 15th target date. So let's, you know, let's just slowly roll a little bit. Just slow down and let's see where this thing is going to take us right now.
Yeah, I think a lot of that was how other show or other movies were doing. And I think it's somebody somewhere just started the rumor mill and it just snowballed and snowballed because I never heard anything. And then I heard a slight little rumor. And then like Friday, like it finally came down, the hammer came down. Like, no, we're not doing that. Who said that? We never announced that. I think it was because of the stuff we heard of like early releases of other movies that have been in the theaters that are getting early releases. And I think just something somewhere just like started snowballing with that. So I don't know if that was even started legitimately.
Yeah, that's what I said. I didn't want to report it, but I've heard it so much. It's like one of those things that I've always said, where there's smoke, there's always fire. So, you know, you got to give a little bit of credence to it. But I, like I said, we're still a little bit from June. Let's be patient. Let's, you know, don't get crazy. Let's not get nuts. You know, like Michael Keaton says, don't get nuts. Just relax. I think it's going to hit that target date. I don't think it's going to go to streaming. The movies that have been out right now. Did you say the
late Michael Keaton?
No, I just said Michael Keaton. I didn't mean, oh, if I said,
God, no. I thought you were saying, no. Like, what the hell God, happened? No. Why did you drop that in there?
This just in, Michael Keaton has left us to go to Marvel. No, no, he's still with us.
Thank God. Okay. I was like, what the heck?
But yeah, but just to finish on that point, like I said, just relax, relax. That's the big thing to quote Aaron Rodgers, relax, relax. We still got a little bit of ways from June. They're still going to have pretty content to go on HBO Max. So just, you know, relax, chill out. I think it's going to hit that release.
Oh, yeah, the HBO Max will be fine. I just think people are just like getting trigger happy with the other, like they feel like they're out of control with regular news and they think this is the one thing they should have like a lock on and they just don't. And I
don't become that website that we mentioned.
I usually will agree with you on, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. But on this one, I don't think so. I think this was just rampant. Just everybody else was starting to make that move. And
like, yeah, oh, that was one of the big things. Like I saw a couple of legit websites. They were like, oh, I'm like, whoa. Well,
trust me, we've seen the legit websites copy other people and be completely wrong. So, like, I didn't bite on it. But you were getting ready to make a comment about a certain website. I've almost wanted to start a section on here to say that website in their false news. And this one came out today, and I had to freaking report it because I think it's hysterical. Robert Downey Jr. reportedly being eyed for the Green Lantern Corps. So basically, he's being eyed to jump from MCU to DCU. Yeah, there you go. That's the look I wanted. And it came from our
lovely, what?
Yeah, that came from our lovely we got this covered.com. And of course, you and I know, and anybody that's been a long time listener knows how we feel about them and what. And that we don't report on them, but I just had to drop that one because I thought it was hysterical. Just the idea of him leaving to jump over there there's so many other people in line for it right now. You know, there's still the rumors of Tom Cruise. There's still the rumors of I think Idris Elba was on there for like to play Jon Stewart. There were just so many different actors and stuff, but that was my favorite one I read today.
Yeah. Number one. No. I was gonna do like a little sports analogy. Like if it did happen, you know, recently Tom Brady, the beloved Tom Brady left your beloved Patriots. Yes, and he signed with the Bucks. That's what I would kind of compare it to. You had Robert Downey who's been with Marvel Studios for 12 years playing Iron Man, and then he just goes to DC to play a Green Lantern. I mean,
it's kind of
why.
Ooh, don't equate DC to Tampa. Really, was that hard? That's really harsh.
Well, yeah, well, come on. I'm a hard critic, sir. Just saying. But
all right, And that is, I think this is the last of the news I have. Is that the last of it that you have?
Yep. That's all I got.
Yeah. Shut down. Free comic book day. Yeah. That is it. All right, guys. So we're going to jump our little booties out of this and go ahead and get into something else. So what we're going to do.
Something else.
Sorry. I hit the music button too quick.
Oh, boy.
And so what we're going to do, we're going to jump into our new segment. We're calling it now Heroes Pulls. It was another name, but we've changed it and given it its own little jazzy theme song. So we'll go ahead and jump into that, guys. So I'm going to let Kane get started here.
Okay.
Thanks. Bear with us, guys, on this little section. The section's not new or old, but the technology that we're having here. So we're going to try to make sure we don't have the – I haven't gotten it down yet where I can bring up the cover. We'll get to that eventually. But we're going to show you the cover at least on this camera so you guys can take a look at that and know what we're talking about. So that way when you do go into the comic book store or you bring up Comicology, you can go, oh, that's what they were talking about. That's what the book game is talking about. So go right ahead, sir.
Okay, my first one is actually two, but part of a series, and it is Metal Men by Daido, Sasaki, and Davis. I don't have their first names in front of me, but this is the fourth issue. Is that the fourth one? I'm sorry, that's the fifth one. This is the fourth issue, if you guys can see it.
Back it up here. There you go. Perfect.
You got it? Okay. See it? That's the fourth issue. All right, and I'm going to show the fifth one real quick, too. All right, you might recognize that character there.
Yes, I saw that cover, and I was like, man, I wanted to.
There's a lot of good stuff to get into. When we last left the Metal Men, they were confronted with this new type of Metal Man. His name is Ninth Metal, Ninth Metal Man. And if you know what Ninth Metal is, Ninth Metal was part of that Dark Knight's Metal run. It's basically one of the most powerful metals ever created. It could stop any of the Dark Knight's Metal Batman, which it did in that horrible storyline. Great characters, but just bad story. But Ninth Metal Man is a thing. Basically, he brought gold back in issue 4. Gold is back because gold was dead in issue 3, killed by the same Ninth Metal Man. But he's back now. He's back and alive and kicking around, and they're getting ready together. They're discovering that this Ninth Metal Man may not be who he seems to be. And then we discover at the end of issue 4, guess who shows up? Ormac. That's right, kids. Ormac is back. Our Mohawk type friend, he's back kicking butt. He's going to fight the Metal Man as he did in issue 5. It bleeds into that. Once again, the Ninth Metal Man, we don't know if he's a good guy or a bad guy in between. I love the colors, by the way. I'm a big fan of like bright colored things, and the color and the illustrations and the panels in this book on both of them are really well done. I was never a big fan of the Metal Man, actually, until you mentioned them about a year ago. You were discussing the Metal Man and how cool they were. And when I saw this new run had come out recently, I'm like, let me just get on board with it. And I love it. It's just so wacky. If you think any of the periodic tables with like gold and silver and all that, when you're in science class, just think of these things as alive. And they're just as wacky from science class into a comic book page. You got Ormac there rustling some stuff up. You have this new order. I think she's called Mega Mother something. She's part of this new metal type of offspring. They're like the evil metals or elements of something like that. Maybe she's going to team with Ormac or maybe not. But that's issues 4 and 5. And we continue with the zaniness and wackiness. And I would highly recommend those two issues. So far, I think it's a 6 or 10 run series. I'm not sure, but I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it a lot. And I think you guys should definitely check it out.
Yeah, that's one of the ones I've been wanting to pick up, especially when I saw Ormac was back on that one cover. Because I was looking at downloading and like all of them now, but I was going to wait for another couple more issues to get them. But yeah, I'm excited to pick that one up.
It's fun. It's definitely fun. Don't take it too seriously. It's a fun thing to have.
It's like the books I was talking about not too long ago, and you kind of rolled your eyes at me. But when I was talking about the Wonder Twins, they just did a 12 series issue run, and it's just fun. They don't take themselves too serious, yet they don't take the major superheroes serious either. You know, they take those nuances that we always talk about you know, Batman being the dark one, Superman being the Boy Scout, and they exaggerate those, and they're hysterical when they do include those characters.
Good stuff, man. So what do you got, sir?
For me, actually, it's a birthday or an anniversary for some, especially for Robin, number 80, or the 80th anniversary for Robin. It's a 100 super page all to new tales from Gotham, and they're basically small stories branched out over all the Robins, which I thought was great. You have, you know, Marv Wolfman doing a story for Dick Grayson as the Robin. You have Chuck Dixon also in here, Devin Grayson, Tim Seeley, and Tom King doing a one. But what's so great about this is they not only just run over, they don't just do you know, your standard ones. Your Dick Graysons. They don't just cover Jason Todd. They cover Tim Drake. They cover Stephanie Brown, and of course your favorite Damian, which I love the fact that this isn't just Damian. This is actually Damian with the Super Sons, which if you've never read the Super Sons, I suggest you, Kane, should read them because they give Damian some purpose finally. It's something to enjoy. I would have to say that's probably the one thing Bendis did bringing in for the Superman runs was actually bringing the Super Sons together, and they're that camaraderie between John and Damian is amazing. It's one of those fun books. But this Robin one, again, it's the 80th anniversary. Check it out. It's a bunch of mini stories, just all over the place. You see just the different stories of them trying to get together and find their place in the Bat Universe. So, and again, it's just different writing styles, different artists. So, something definitely to check out.
Well, if they make Damien fun, then, you know.
Like I said, you definitely need to check out the Super Sun run. I think that started 2018, 17 or 18. And it had him and Jonathan together. And it was some of the more interesting ones. And that's why there was this argument about what he's doing with Superman now, and then some of the things are changing. We're like, don't change the Super Sons. They were perfect together. They were almost what we always wanted Batman and Superman to be, more in a teenage form. They have that, this, there's a brotherhood to them, but they both have to stand their ground on, hey, this is how my daddy taught me. This is how my daddy taught me. And it's got Damian still being Damian at his points, but it's great to see Jonathan playing off of him because he doesn't have to have the Superman chip on his shoulder. He's not Superman. He's Jonathan.
Well, like I said, if it gets me interested in Damian Wayne in any kind of way, I'll definitely have to check it out because you know my feelings on Damian Wayne. Yes, and if not, check a previous podcast, probably from a year ago. I think I've had some kind words about Damian.
All right. So what do you have next?
Oh, next one I got. Let me pull it up here for a second. It's my favorite, Lucifer issue. Did you get that?
Yeah,
I
got that.
Okay. Yeah, Lucifer issue 17. This is from the Sandman universe, so it's not part of any kind of. Well, actually, it is part of the Black Label series. Yeah. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, I think.
I just saw that because
I think issue 6 or 7 they changed over to Black Label.
Oh, well, I didn't even realize that until I saw it just now. So it's part of the Black Label. So yeah, issue 17 just came out. Did I say the writers? Sorry, guys. I'm like all over the place today.
I know. It's that camera. It's fucking you up.
Yeah, it is. You got to see my pretty face now. One of them is Dan McGreg. That's all I'm going to say because I don't want to get into it. I think Dan Waters is one of them also. Anyway, if you guys have been with me, following me, I think it's been almost a year I've been reading this entire series. Lucifer is engaging what's called the Wild Hunt. The Black Horn has been blown by Odin, and that's the same Odin you're thinking of, the Norse god. This Wild Hunt is supposed to exhibit the god of the Wild Hunt, and he doesn't even know he's the god of the Wild Hunt. So Lucifer has to find this god. He's basically a nerdy type dude, and he killed Achilles. Yeah. He's basically some normal dude who has antlers growing out of his head, and he's taking care of his sick mom. He doesn't know he's a god yet, but he does now. And basically you have all these other hunters from different realms hunting them, Honor, Chaos, I think a couple of their names. And these hunters are so badass, they basically incapacitated Odin. They didn't kill him, but they incapacitated him in hell, so he's not part of the hunt. So these guys are coming to Earth, and Lucifer's with this guy right now, basically trying to protect him for some sort of reason that we don't know yet. But so far, the comic book is detouring into a different area. Like I said before, when I was reviewing this comic, I felt that it didn't have any kind of structure. Last couple of issues, I felt it does have structure, even though they forgot about Lucifer's son in like an issue 8, and he's basically a forgotten thought. I'm like, okay, what happened to that guy?
Yeah, I bet you he'll come back.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like the last time I saw him, he was taking a chunk out of a cherub, and he went nuts. And then we have never seen him again. And
maybe that's what they're hunting. I mean,
maybe
I have been picking up on this, by the way. I haven't starting to read this. So now I know what you're talking about. The last few Lucifer ones, I've been looking at you like, okay, man, whatever. If that's what you're talking about. But now I know when you made mention of the antlers, cause I've in the first issue, in one of the issues we see that I've seen the mother. And I've seen the hunt with Odin as well. I've seen those moments. So yeah, I'm definitely familiar now with what you're talking about.
Yeah, and so far, so good. So let's see what they're going to go with this story. It just keeps going. I love the artwork, by the way. Still great. I forgot the artist's name. I think it's Dan Waters. I could be mistaken, but the artwork's still stupendous. And we're going somewhere. Let's just hope that there is a conclusion. I think this is a 20-issue run, if I'm not mistaken, or it could be longer. I'm not sure. But check it out, kids, at your local comic book store or Comixology right now, because I think issue 18 dropped recently. So
yeah, it did. Yep, that's the one I've read. I've gotten to read.
Is it good?
Yeah. It's pretty good. It's not on my list because I'm not, you know, one, you know, to step on your toes.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Because I knew it was going to be in your pick. my next one is He-Man, Masters of the Multi-Universe, number 5 of 6. So you better catch up, Kane.
I'm
behind. Did you get this one?
No, I got both of them. I got 4 and 5. Yep.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so I'm going to go over 5.
You got 5? No, yeah. I just got 3 and 4.
3 and 4. Okay, like I said, again, digital. but this one with Tom Seeley, Tom Dernick, and Matt Yaki. Sorry about that, Matt.
Try to say that.
God, yeah. And so basically, I mean, again, it's just following the further adventures of the multiverse He-Man going to a world. We see the anti-He-Man go to a world where they're honoring of their version of He-Man, who's a multi-arm, or they're honoring a multi-arm god. And they discover the two swords of Eternia. And so he grabs one. Now, I'm always a little confused. Like, we've had our full-on throwbacks and everything like that, where we've seen the He-Man, the little tiny He-Man that's got the big bobble-looking head. And then we've seen...
I call him the Pez Head He-Man.
Yeah. I know he's from an animated series. I just have never watched it, so I'm not familiar with it. But then we see, you know, the Dolph Lundgren He-Man. We see the 80s He-Man cartoon.
That was great when we finally saw the 80s He-Man.
But the problem is, it's like we see a lot more of that style of He-Man, but it's not the same one. Like in this one, we see He-Man again riding Thundercat and... Battlecat. Thank you. You know, we see that. Then we see a futuristic version where, you know, they talk about that it's actually the past of Eternia, but he's like, you know, wearing like the silver armored plating instead, but it's still got the red cross in the center. So there's like different versions of him around here. So I'm not sure which one's which. I know we know for sure, you know, when it's, you know, definitely just a complete different version of He-Man, we know which one that is. I'm just still trying to figure out which ones are which. But this one basically ends with them casting off the anti-He-Man. And then we see the anti-He-Man and we see the young Skeletor, Prince Kaldor, them battling together at the edge of this area, and this blast comes up. And the next thing we see, Prince Kaldor, who's now missing half his face because he's now half Skeletor now, we now see him at the gates of the anti-He-Man's version of Teela, Man-at-Arms, Orko. Everybody's in that like orangey red costume with gray skin. And that's where we leave him off at on issue number 5.
Ooh, I'm definitely going to check that out. So, you know what I'm shocked they haven't done yet?
What's that?
You probably recall the old He-Man series from 2002.
Oh, yeah.
They have not included him in any of these issues yet. I wonder if he's going to be in the last one.
I don't know. I don't.
Or is the anti-He-Man that universe?
Could be, or it could also just be simply the fact that maybe they just don't own the rights to him, and they can't.
That's a little odd, though. I would think it up because that's the recent one that came out. I mean, we're having another one, I guess, sometime later in the year. But Kevin Smith is doing that one.
Apparently, hopefully that one's done. From my understanding, I thought that one was completed. And that was,
is
that
it completed? Could,
I hope so. I thought it because it was supposed to be out like this summer.
Hopefully they'll get it out there. But yeah, just a little confusing that I haven't seen that version of He-Man yet. I've seen every other ones, even the Space He-Man, which was weird.
Yeah, that one was weird to throw him out there.
But the 2002 one, which I love that series, and if they ever made a live-action He-Man movie, they should just look at that series and do it that way. I'm going to get off course, but I'm going to keep staying on He-Man. And I think you're sort of in agreement with me. I've heard somebody say that they want when they want to make a new He-Man movie, oh, it's got to be like, you know, Thor Ragnarok. And I totally disagree. No. I mean, yeah, I totally disagree with that. I've always felt that if you're going to do a Masters of the Universe movie nowadays, you want to have two components. You have Lord of the Rings and Star Wars. Look at those two. Then you can make Masters of the Universe. And you can make an entire franchise out of that. It's just screaming to be made. Now, I think that's the best way to go.
I'll say I agree to that group of people that are saying that. The look. Not the style, not the humor. We've already kind of seen that in the Dolph Lundgren He-Man. There was a bit of humor to it. But I would definitely go with the look. The look of that movie I would go for, especially when they're at Eternia and they're at, you know, Castle Grayskull, and the look of the movie I could definitely see. But and tone down the humor, and I would go with it.
Make it more serious, man. I'm not so goofy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'll definitely have to check that issue out. I think it's a 6-issue series, so it's almost done, right?
Yeah, one more and we're done. Yeah, so and that'll be the end of this little gem that DC has provided to us. It's something fun. You and I jokingly were like, hey, you know, I picked up He-Man. I go, me too. I can't. you and I have been reading.
I think on a previous podcast that we did, we were just going giddy over it because I kept walking by it a couple times. I'm like, what is that? Mm-hmm. I go, is that really He-Man? I picked it up, put it back down. Picked it up, put it back down. Picked it up, put it back down. I'm like, you know what? Let me just give it a shot. Because I did a little sneak peek and I opened it. I'm like, is that Dolph Lundgren?
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? I'm in.
That's how I was. I was on Comicology. I'm like, look, I kept coming back to it. I'm like, you did just get it. I want to read this. I want to see what it's all about. All right. So my next one is for Star Wars number 4. And if you guys can see this here. Star Wars number 4, it has a cover of Star Wars, and we see Darth Vader and a Princess Leia in carbonite.
Ooh.
Now, if you guys have been keeping up with the Star Wars series for Marvel comic books, it takes place in between Empire and Return of the Jedi. And so what's going on is this is kind of falsely. Vader doesn't put her in carbonite, but everybody went back. Luke, Lando, and Leia, and of course, you know, Chewie and everyone, and the droids all went back to Cloud City after they were chased out. They went in back in hiding. Lando went back there for one reason and one reason only, to get Lobot back. Leia went there to find out about carbonite freezing. What's the process? How does it work? So she's down trying to figure this out, and then of course Luke went back because that's where he lost his hand, he lost his lightsaber. And again, one of the big things, the questions that we had in the last trilogy is, where did the lightsaber come from? Where did it go? Issue 1, we saw somebody picking up Luke's saber. We haven't ran into that person just yet, so they're building up to that. But in this, Leia gets accidentally frozen into carbonite, she eventually gets freed with some help from other people. But the one thing, another thing that Lando wanted to do while he was back there, because he's like, the Empire took this away from me. I'm going to make sure they can't use it. So what he did is Cloud City, he basically poisoned the gas in the clouds. And instead of it being white, fluffy clouds like we saw in the theater, we see the clouds turning into green, which means they can't be processed for the gas that they were being made to use. So basically he poisoned Cloud City, so it's no longer useful to the Empire. So he's hoping Empire leaves, his family, you know, his friends and everybody leaves, and they're cheering for him. They don't realize that that he turned on him. And we're slowly seeing the trust level of Leia and Luke kind of leaning more towards Lando now. And we see Luke still coming to terms, because he's just, again, he's still, this is just days after finding out Vader's his father, or hearing, you know, that Vader's his father.
You know, one of the things about these Star Wars comics that have came out recently, because sometimes, you know, the movies, they never live up to our expectations, which is, it's just the truth. You know, they never do. But these Star Wars comics always fill in the blanks of a lot of things. I know that was like when the prequels came out, there was a couple of comic runs that came out after that. You know, people were pissed at the prequels. A lot of them were. But the comics that kind of followed that, they kind of like filled in a lot of the holes, and you had Rebels and you had Clone Wars, and they kind of fill in those holes that, you know, the fans are like, oh, okay, now I get what they were trying to do, kind of make more sense of the things. And this comic book run sounds like they're filling a lot of the holes. So I'm definitely going to have to get on board with this one.
Well, make sure you get on board with this one and the Vader run.
Yeah,
there's three right now. There's this one, Star Wars, the Vader run, and then there's also the Bounty Hunter one. The Bounty Hunter one just came out, so that's you guys can pick that up pretty quick. But the Vader one, right now, he's trying to discover who Luke is, where's he been, how did certain things happen, and then on the end of the very first one of Vader, he runs into what we all assume is Padme. And of course, a lot of people lost their shit. I was talking to her, like, no, Padme, no, don't tell me they're bringing her back, that she's a clone, blah, 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 blah. The second issue, we come to find out it's not Padme. It's, Sabe?
Her stand-in?
Yes. She's okay. There. She's there trying to, and what she's doing, and she doesn't realize that she's trying to find out who killed Padme. Oh. And he's trying to find out who killed Padme. He doesn't know, because last he heard, he did it, but he doesn't believe in his heart he did it. So they're in that series, they're running tandem, but it's happening at the same exact time as the Star Wars one I just showed you guys as well. It's happening the same exact time in the Bounty Hunter one, because they're trying to find Han right now, and they don't know where he is, because Boba hasn't dropped him off to Jabba yet. So they don't know where he is and what's going on. So what we find out in the Bounty Hunter one is that they still have Han in the, you know, in Slave One right now. Okay. So definitely something to check out, guys, if you are Star Wars fans and you want more backstory. It's slowly connecting a little bit of the new trilogy that just ended, but also wrapping up and putting some nice bows on things that happened in the original trilogy.
Very nice. Definitely have to check that one out, sir. So
go right ahead. What you got?
Okay, I got this one. It's a Batman Superman issue 7.
Nice.
You guys can see that. It's part of the Infected series line. It's kind of like an offspring of it. The last one I read was issue 6. You found out that Ra's al Ghul and General Zod are working together. Why are they working together? Well, in this comic book, you find out that Ra's is actually working with Superman and Batman to take down Zod, because Zod has captured the Bottle City of Kandor. Why, you ask? Everybody in that Bottle City is dead, or are they dead? You find out that Ra's and Batman continue their little, you know, little quirks, because they're always jabbing at each other. Hey, detective, that. So they keep that through line going. This version of Superman is okay. He doesn't have too much to do in this issue. But the big thing that happens is they go to the Lazarus Pit. They find out that General Zod is there. At the ending of the issue, he drops the Bottle City of Kandor into the Lazarus Pit. And what do you think happens?
Oh, really?
Yep.
Nice.
And the issue just ends with that. You see 1,000 of these Kandorians leaping from the pit, going towards Batman, Superman, and Ra's al Ghul. Wow. So issue 8 will be very interesting.
Yeah,
so far this run has been fun. This is Batman Superman issue 7.
Okay,
it started sometime last year. It's part of like an offspring of the Infected line. And it kind of was like cinematically running with that Superman run by Bendis. I know that you're a fan of. Yeah.
Well, I think everything, it doesn't have to be the Bendis one. I think everything has, because you had DC last month release the Villains. Month before that was the Superman Heroes, where they were like talking about the fallout of Superman showing his identity. So I think that's like run rampant on every release from DC right now. It doesn't have to be a Bendis book. They're like, oh, that's what's happened. Then everybody else, it's going to happen on everybody else's. And we're seeing like the fallout of sorts on it. But yeah, that one sounds like a pretty interesting book. I think I didn't start jumping on that book because it was still sort of tied in with the Metal, and I still haven't completely fixed that one up, or the Infected, I meant. So I haven't fixed that or completed that one. So hopefully I'll get that one.
It's a nice little run. Like the first couple issues were kind of slow, but now we're getting into it. I mean, they had the Batman Who Laughs was in there for a couple issues, but he's gone doing his own thing. And now Batman, Superman are just being the world's finest. They basically have made a pact. They're saying, hey, look, you know, let's just be honest with each other and do what we got to do. And that's basically the thing, because if, you know, in past issues of Batman, Superman lore, you can always tell that Batman is not exactly the most trusting or most open guy in the world. He likes to keep things to himself, and he does things sometimes that are a little shady. Superman hates it, but him and Batman and Superman are basically on the same wavelength going forward, which is different. You know, seeing Clark kind of turn that little edge of a little bit, say, hey, you know what, maybe we got to bend the rules a little bit. So
yeah,
it's been a good run. I've definitely enjoyed it, and look forward to issue 8. I think it's going to drop, I think, this week, maybe next week. I don't know yet. I have to look at the
releases. We'll have to check and see. You're the Villain. Hell Risen, that's probably where your Batman, Batman Who Laughs probably went, because that final came out this week.
Oh,
I did not read it, but yeah, because you were talking about that one, I wanted to bring that one up.
Looks like I got to go order from eBay.
Yes, you do. For me, And this was an issue number one. And I was like, you know what? I need to check this out. It's a Marvel one. It's something I haven't read. It's one I've been wanting to read, or I've always liked her, and I just haven't gotten a chance to read her that much. And I figure with a first run coming back, you are really going to tick me off today. Here we go. All right. And with that is going to be Spider-Woman number one. Cover I have here is in her classic red and yellow old style suit, but there's also in the book they also introduce her into the newer style that she has. But and there's a cover with that one. I went and grabbed the one with the classic. This one's with Carla Pacheco, artist by Pierre Perez, and color by Frank DeMarta. Now Carla, interesting story with Carla as a writer. She and Spider-Woman are the same age. She was born the same year that Spider-Woman debuted. So she kind of has like a little bond with her. And it basically just follows Jessica dealing with the fact that I don't know if they're married or not, because they really haven't said, but her and her husband, or baby daddy, put it that way, are struggling. They're struggling with money because, you know, the superhero gig doesn't pay. And she's had some falling outs with some of the superheroes, so she's sort of had to take on side jobs. She doesn't want to do security, start her own security firm, but she ends up getting a gig working for a billionaire who works for some pharmaceutical company to kind of bodyguard her or his daughter's birthday party. And of course, everybody's dressed up like superheroes. Yay. So she's rolling her eyes throughout the whole thing. There is a... probably one of the funniest ones is that there's a kid that's dressed up like Deadpool, and she gives this kid holy hell. She goes around and starts beating up all these. Apparently, there's some villains that come over and try to kidnap this pharmaceutical's daughter. She is in a wheelchair, so it's a little difficult for them to kidnap her at first. But this little kid runs his mouth, who's in Deadpool, not only in a Deadpool outfit, but he's also wearing mariachi hat. And he's like, I'm going to tell my parents, they're going to sue you, blah, blah, blah. She tosses a life preserver off the side of the boat, and then she tosses him. And he's out there still yelling, and then she proceeds to go fight, you know. And then somehow she has to go out into the water because some of them are trying to get away through the water. And she sees him out there, and he's still running his mouth to her. And she's like, you're in the safe area. And then one of the next scenes we see is there's one of the villains. He's sitting off the side of the deck, you know, looking at a helicopter, and you see her peering over the side of the boat. And the next thing you see is the kid in the life preserver getting tossed across the boat and nails this villain. And when I say villain, more like henchman. There's no real name to these guys, but it's great because he's wearing the mask of Deadpool, where he's got it pulled up above his nose and his mouth. So very, very, you know, similar to the Deadpool that we've seen. And then something happens to Jessica at the very end of the fight that she kind of passes out, throws up like this green bile, almost a Spider-Man-esque style looking symbol falls on there. And it's almost like it's acid. And that's, you know, we just find out that in the next one is the Night Nurse Will See You Now. Is how it ends.
Ooh, Night Nurse.
Yeah, I was like, ooh, little Night Nurse action. I'm on board for that.
There we go.
Again, something we were talking about, the mystical side of the Marvel Universe.
Hmm. Well done, sir.
So that's the one I have. What do you got?
I got one last one. And speaking of mystical, this is a one shot, and I'm gonna put it on screen real quick. Da, da, da. It is Doctor Strange: The End. That's right. It's a Marvel book. Yes, sir. I bought Doctor Strange: The End. Basically, the book is dealing with an older Doctor Strange. All of his friends are dead. Pretty much the era of magic is dead. And pretty much this whole thing is him talking to Dead Wong. Pretty much talking to Dead Wong about magic and his responsibility to magic. If he uses magic, basically he's going to die. And basically it's an inner monologue conversation. He's talking to himself. And then pretty much the book ends with him locking himself in this magical cabinet. It is opened years later, and basically these new magicians now have the power, which is Doctor Strange, to create these new magicians of a new era. Very cool. I thought it was very cool. I thought it was like kind of like an old man Logan type of vibe, And the whole inner monologue with the dead Wong was kind of cool. Even there's a point in the comic where he opens the cabinet and Wong's bones are in there. He's just saying, "See, Wong, you always have the last laugh." It's just little quicks, a little humor in there. And I thought it was pretty good. You know, I've been hesitant to get a Marvel comic for a while, but this one was a one shot. It was a quick read, honestly. And if they're gonna keep doing stuff like that, I would love to see like a Spider-Man one shot. Maybe.
Well, they've done the end. I remember I reviewed a bunch of the ends.
You did it a while ago.
Yeah, this is one I haven't read. But they did I want to say they released about 6 the ends from Marvel, and they were all very similar in that fashion. They were all one offs. A lot of fun. I think if you were looking for Spider-Man, I think that's the ones they released. God, I want to say a decade ago, there was a Spider-Man version of the end. And again, if I know the Fantastic Four was like a 4-book run, I think Wolverine was 3 or 4. Your bigger characters, they had longer runs, but they were only 3 to 4 issues. And then, but you go check those out again. If you're going to be using Comicology, you check it out. I bet you that the ends be it, pretty much anything that's like 3 years old, any runs like 2 or 3 years old, are free on there. And yeah, definitely check those out. They're doing a Bloodshot run right now, some free Bloodshot books, so check those out. If nobody's gotten a chance to check out Bloodshot, great movie. You know, we'll definitely do a full review later, but yeah, just definitely check that out. I know a lot of you guys can't go out and see it yet, but I was able to catch it.
And how did you catch it?
There was, you know, people I know.
Oh, okay.
You know, it came out a couple of weeks ago, so it was like,
yeah, oh, okay. I didn't know
because it was pre. Okay. Yeah, you've been in exile, you know, your own exile.
Self-imposed, sir.
Exile I go. My next one and my final one, actually, and this is one I was just talking, you know, sort of talking with Kane about the chance of using Comicology and finding a story. This one is a book from X-Men, and it's called Magic Storm in Illyana, and this follows the origin of Magic. And if nobody is familiar with who Magic is in the X-Men universe, this is Illyana, Colossus's young daughter, or young sister, sorry, not daughter, but his sister, who we've all seen before, and he's always been very protective of. But at one point, she and the X-Men get trapped into this dimension, where apparently there have been X-Men already. So we see the X-Men escape, and they're trying to pull her in or pull her out of this dimension. But Kitty Pryde loses her grip for like a half a second, and then she grabs her again. But apparently within that half a second time, about a decade has passed for Illyana. And so she is trapped in this dimension with this, I'm trying to remember his name, Barak, I believe was his name. He was a major sorcerer, but this was his world he created. But she comes to find out that the X-Men from a different timeline have already been there before, and it was her that got out, and the X-Men were stuck there. And she runs into an old Storm. And when I say old, we're talking probably like in her 70s, 80s. And she has reverted back to her sorceress ways, not using her mutant powers have faded. Storm was always a sorceress because of, you know, from her village in Africa, where she was the, you know, the creator and the keeper of the storm. So during this time, we see Illyana battling between Storm wanting to do the right thing for her, the other villain, the Brock villain, him wanting her to learn the power from him, and then at the same time, you have another character that's introduced named Kat, who we learn later on is basically a feral version of Kitty Pryde. And so we see, she's become, they call her Cat because she has very cat-like features. The sorcerer has like thrown a curse on her, so she sort of became partial cat-like. But her and Storm have a very testy relationship, let's put it that way. And she's like, I want you to kind of follow what Storm does, but he's trying to teach you stuff, but don't just kind of merge them both together. Don't follow either one. And this is the birth of Magic. And eventually by the time Illyana leaves this place again, for the outside world, it's been a half a second. Then when she's pulled back, she's now with the X-Men as kind of outside of her own. She's not a mutant, but she has powers. She has abilities that are outside of what they could understand. And that's where we leave off with her. I'm doing a heavy research on Magic because I've never really knew much about her. And there's a few other books out there about her I'm really looking into.
Yeah, it's one of the characters that they haven't been able to crack the code in any kind of X-Men live action feature yet. I've heard of her, but I haven't like really dived in deep. So on your research, let me know how she is. Maybe I'll pick up a couple of her combos.
Like I said, the first one's really good. I mean, it's an older book. I want to say 83, 84. I mean, it's an early X-Men book, but it's done very well. I like the storyline overall, and just trying kind of her origin, very different about being able to, that she's contained in this one little tiny universe for such a small time. But for her, it was maybe not even a decade. I think it was closer to like 8 years. I think she was 8 years old, seven or eight when she got trapped in there. And then she came out as she was like 15 or 16, somewhere around that time frame. So, but it just to see this creation coming around. And again, like I said, they do have magic in Marvel. We just don't see a lot of it being used. And I'm trying to learn the darker side of Marvel.
Dark side.
But guys, that is it for the Heroes Poll. That is it actually for us this week. We don't have much other information. We're still keeping the tabs out there for our convention that got postponed. Last I heard, it's still June. We think June 12th or 13th, but don't put it out there yet. I'll send an invite for anybody. And anybody that wants the invite and to check us out and more stuff, again, Heroes Asylum, it's down at the bottom. And you guys can go there, heroesasylum.com, and check out all of our past archives for just not just this show, but also the Midnight Movie Show, as well as we try to do some posting about news. Again, it's just Kane and I running this, so it's a little tough on getting the timing down for get everything out there for you guys. But we try to really keep up at least on our social media for you guys. And Kane's going to go ahead and take that away for you guys on the social media.
Definitely. So we have a big Twitter thing that we're doing right now. Actually, we're doing a couple different things on Twitter and Facebook. We have what's called What They Say, which will be on Monday, which is basically a clip or a picture and basically think, what do they say? Tuesday Titan is our spotlight, could be hero or villain of the week. Wednesday, I believe it's
our new release day.
Our new release day. Thursday is Flashback. And then Friday is Titan fight. So
We do Sci-Fi Saturday also. We do a little throw out some sci-fi for you guys out there, for you other you geeks that have that aren't just superheroes. I'm a sci-fi geek myself, Star Wars and Star Trek. I have internal arguments with myself about that one, so don't worry.
I'm sure you do. The rundown is basically this. It's Monday, What They Say, Tuesday Titan, Wednesday is release of the week, Throwback Thursday, Friday Night Fight, Sci-Fi Saturday, and last time, basically our Sci-Fi Saturday, we basically threw up Brimstone, one of my favorite TV series. Only lasted one season. If you've never seen it, check it out. I'm not sure if it's on Vudu or Hulu or something, but it's on some streaming service. Only lasted one season. If you know Don Glover, he basically played Lex Luthor's father in Smallville. He plays the devil in this show, and he's a very fun devil. The premise of the show, basically, this cop dies, but the devil brings him back to life because all these souls have escaped hell, and he has to bring all those souls back to hell. So they resurrect. Very fun show. Too bad it only lasted one season, but if you guys have never seen it, check it out. Like I said, the Twitter page, we do all that, and on Facebook, our main area of contact. We had some fun things that we've done on Facebook and chat. A little experiment.
Some experiments. Yeah, we'll keep trying. But we're also going to try more experiments here with the us doing this live or this recorded show. Tell us what you guys think. Fill out some suggestions. Hopefully we'll see you guys see this on Facebook. You'll also see it on YouTube. And I hope you guys have a great week. Stay healthy. And we will see you guys next time.
Get to the asylum.